This is Space Kate, and I have come to Rome on another space nomad adventure, and I find myself at the University of Tor Vergata, and I've found my way into the physics department, and I'm sitting here with a very friendly chap who's been telling us interesting things I'm going to share with you. If you want to just introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Luca Di Fino. I'm a researcher here at the physics department, and I work in the ALTE experiment. That is an experiment on the International Space Station about the study of cosmic rays and their effect on human brain and human physiology. And we got this experiment on the space station since 2006. And the experiment consists of six particle detectors and an electron encephalographer and a push button for with which the astronaut can signal the vision of the light flash. The light flash is a phenomenon that happens to the astronauts when they are on orbit and when they are on dark adaptation, and they can see this flash of lights and that are not produced by real light. So from the 50s, they imagined that this phenomenon could happen due to cosmic ray interaction with the visual system. And in fact, in the 60s, with the first Apollo missions, the astronauts referred to have seen these flashes. And from there, it was a long study conducted by NASA and other space agencies to investigate this phenomenon. And our university is involved in this study from with two detectors, CLI-1 and CLI-2, on the Mir station. And then on the ISS, we got another experiment that is a CLI-3 Alteino, is called, and it's the precursor of Altea. And as I said, Altea is composed by six particle detectors, and we just can detect a single particle passing, and we can measure the energy that the particle deposits in the silicon detectors of the device and the trajectory. So when we do a measure with the astronauts, we can understand if when the astronauts signal a light flash, we can compare electroencephalographic signals and with the particles that passed in that period of time in his brain or his eye, for example.
Well, you showed us a model of it, and you had a nice kind of small-scale version of it, and there's like an astronaut sitting there with these... They are quite big. I mean, we're talking, how large are the actual detectors? About 30 or 40 centimetres long, maybe?
More.
And they've got several of them connected all around their head on a crazy kind of hat thing, and then a visor goggles thing so they can't see any of the external light, so you can tell when if there's a light flash, if they're seeing something that isn't caused by light, they press a button. It looks kind of uncomfortable. I guess when you're in space, you've got zero gravity, so it's not so heavy. But how long are they having to wear this thing?
Yeah, of course. In orbit, the weight is not a problem, but it's not a very comfortable experiment because they have to stay 90 minutes with inside this helmet, and they have to stay as the more steady as they can. Because of course every movement and every action that they take is recorded by the electroencephalographer. So they had to concentrate on the light flashes and just be ready and trying to not to fall asleep and being ready and responsive to the vision light flash. And but since we know that this is not an easy task, the push button has got three buttons, because one is for the light flash perception, so to signal the perception without thinking about it too long. So as soon as they think that they have seen a light flash, they can push this first button. And then they have other two buttons. That one is for they can think about what they have seen, and one is to confirm that okay, this was really a light flash, or another to tell, oh no, I did a mistake. I just think, but I just, I don't know, blinking my eyes, and I thought to see a light flash. It was not a light flash. I'm not so convinced, and so this is why. We understand that this could be an hard task. Mm-hmm. So we
and how many of these light flashes would you normally expect to see? I mean, you say they're wearing the helmet for 90 minutes. I mean, are they happening every few minutes, every hour? I mean, it must be, you know, if they're trying to, I don't know, if they're trying to sleep on the station, does it cause them some trouble with that, if they keep saying flashing lights?
Yes, they... we expect them to see from, if I don't remember bad, from 6 to 10 light flashes per hour. And some astronauts reported that they have so strong light flashes that they couldn't sleep, or they were awake by the light flashes. But unfortunately, we could not get so many measurements. So in our study, we just recorded 18 light flashes. So in seven 90-minute sessions, we just recorded 18 light flashes.
And then the idea is, when you record a light flash, you then look and you see where that particle hit. If it hit, a visual center of the brain or the eye itself, and then you're trying to work out which of those is causing the astronaut to think they're seeing or seeing this light?
Yes.
And have you come any closer to working out if it's hitting the visual part of the brain or if it's hitting the eye itself?
Yes. From the little data we have, the most closed solution, let's say, everything is... going to an interaction with the eye, so with the retina, and within the same Altea program, we are for this reason we are also doing some experiment on ground. We do some experiment on mice with the particle beam, and they have similar thing with the electrodes to measure the brain activity. And they have of course we take the mice and expose them to light, and we record their response, so the brain response, and then we take the mice to the particle beam, and we record their response, and we see if these two things matches. And then another thing that we do is that we did some biochemistry experiments. We take some rhodopsin molecules, and we take on some vials, and we expose them to first light and then to particle beam, and see if the molecule is activated in the same way by the light and by the particle beam, of if the particles does activate without destroying the molecules. That is one of the first molecules in the electrovisual cascade, and this is what we are looking for. And another thing to say is that these light flashes are seen also by people that are subjected to hadron therapy. So we did some not experiments, but we with some volunteers that agreed to help us in our investigation. They during their therapy, they are just indicating with a push button similar to the one of Althea if they see the light flashes. And also there we saw something that when the cancer, and so the particle beam that is trying to destroy the cancer is near the, it's in the back of the eye, so in the brain near the eye, the light flashes are more frequent. So at the moment we think that the interaction is mainly with the eye.
I was going to ask, I mean, you're seeing this interaction from these particles just with the light flashes, but presumably if it can affect the brain, you know, to see light flashes, maybe it's doing some other things. Is that a concern for astronauts? Is that something that's being studied to find out what other effects this kind of radiation might be having on their brains? I mean, some of them are up on the station for 6 months. I guess you need to find out what effect that is having, if any.
Yes, Altea was built even to study these other kind of interactions. Of course, studying the brain in a non-controlled environment, because the astronauts, they were the electrodes themselves, so in controlled environment in laboratory with the physicist or biologist that put your electrodes, it's easier to have a clean signal, and to have a better signal. It's always noisy, so it's not so easy to understand other things. But from talking with people that study this kind of interactions, they are we discovered that there are some not so documented, because it's not easy to do scientific study, but there are some reports of smells and of sounds inducted by this kind of particles, so this kind of interaction. So it's very interesting thing, and of course this could be one thing, this could be very important to understand, because apart from the sensorial part of the brain, this could be a bigger problem on like memory or on other kind of area of the brain. And there is another thing, that if we can discover such an interaction, of course we have to think about it, because even if in the ISS there is much more radiation that is on ground, but of course even we are also always in a low Earth orbit, so we are partially in the Earth magnetic field, so we are protected. Mm-hmm. But if you imagine a travel to Mars or even to the Moon, there could be even a lot of problems, a lot more problems due to this interaction of radiation with brains. So we don't know at the moment if they can compromise the capability of an astronaut to be able to drive a spaceship or to whatever that they have to do in space.
Well, I tell you what, if they need a test subject and they want to send me to the moon, I would be happy to go, whatever the effect was.
Yeah, for example, from the report, there are some strange things. For example, on light flashes. One day, I don't know, I don't remember exactly what mission was, what number, but on one Apollo mission to the moon, they measured a lot more light flashes on going to the moon than on coming back from the moon. I don't know why, but this is on papers. So these are some weird things about these things.
So there's more research to be done, I'm sure. If people are interested to find out a bit more about Altea, is there something online that they can find? Do you have a web page? do you remember the web address?
Yes. Yes, I just, I've got a personal blog in Italian, and but I just recently started to translate some articles on Cosmic Rays and Altea activities and operations in English. So the English blog is called alteaspace.wordpress.com. So this is the where you can even then question or if you want to look at the Italian one is my name, so lucadifino.wordpress.com. And I will tell about the operations and past and future operations and some findings and some other things and of physics and of cosmic ray physics.
Well, thank you ever so much for sharing that. I hope you do keep translating your blog into English for us. And if you're wondering how to spell Altea, it's A-L-T-E-A. A-L-T-E-A. So alteaspace.wordpress.com for the English version. Thank you ever so much.